Well, as you guessed, this morning we are talking, but my sermon this morning is called Winning Over Worry, right? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So if you want to join me, we're going to be in Matthew 6. So I will ask you to turn there. Matthew 6, we're going to be starting in verse 24. We ended last week on verse 24, and that's where we're going to pick up this morning. So we're continuing on looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and God's Word shows us how to win over worry in our lives. And that's what we're going to be looking at. So the Lord, He wants us to live in victory over worry, right? And we know this because three times in this section of Scripture we're going to read, He mentions for us to not worry multiple times, okay? He says it over and over and over. So, what is worry? Well, the original word in these verses have the word picture of something being divided or something cut into pieces, okay? So, worry then is a thought pattern that tears us apart. It distracts or it divides us, right? Worry turns our focus from our provider to our problems. But Jesus wants us to overcome the worry in our lives. So join with me as I read 24 verse 24 through 34. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? And which of you, by worrying, can add even 1 hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothing? Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow is tossed into the fire to heat the oven, won't he clothe you even more, you people of little faith? So then don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own." So, have you been worried about anything lately, right? If I were to ask for a show of hands from everyone who's been worried about something this week, probably most, if all of us, would raise our hand, correct? It's easy for us to worry about something. It could be big. It could be something minuscule. I know I've personally have been worrying about, you know, getting older, okay? And I have this nice gray patch that comes in right about here. But luckily, I can shave most of it off for my beard line. And so it's okay. But I had this experience the other day. I went to the dentist, and I'm sitting in the waiting room. And this older lady comes in and sits next to me, and we're talking about something, about life. And she's like, "Oh, you have it so easy. You're only 18. I'm like, "Well, thank you, ma'am." Of course, I'm not 18. I know. But that kind of picked me up a little bit. I was like, "Oh, thank you. I feel better about myself now. Just don't look on this side and you'll see all the gray." But so we worry about things. I worry about getting older. You worry about whatever. I don't really worry about getting older. I really worry about my joints hurting. But someone said this. They said, I know people who stay worried with a what if this or what if that worst case scenario running through their minds. But God doesn't want us to live like that because these are serious side effects from worry. It hurts us. It gives us headaches, stomach aches, high blood pressure, and other health problems. I did some research this week and I found that a great percentage of illnesses is in some way related to worry or anxiety and stress, okay? So I found that the number one killer in America is heart disease, okay? 38% of all deaths are heart-related, and many of those are related to hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. Worrying has been linked to cancer, lung ailments, accidents, gastrointestinal illness, and suicide. And then 3/4 of all visits to primary care physicians are stress-related complaints or disorders, right? That's a lot. It's in our head, right? We convince ourselves there's something wrong, and then there is something wrong a lot of the times. Well, on top of all this, worry is also a thief. It robs us of the joy that belongs to us if we belong to Jesus, right? And it steals the time that we could be spending focusing on the good things in life, correct? It steals that time because you know the time that you spend, I know I do this all the time, the time that you spend on WebMD, self-diagnosing yourself with terminal cancer, right? I do that all the time. I find something that's wrong, and I'm like, oh, I got to look this up. And then that leads to something else. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And then I feel like I need to go to the doctor, right? But it steals our it's a thief. And worry is also a sin. Again, the Lord specifically tells us not to worry more than three times in the scripture. That's because we can't be trusting in the Lord and worrying at the same time. Think about it. It's either one or the other. We can't do both. So this morning we're going to look at some ways that we can use to help us to win over worry. And the first way we're going to look at is that we need to keep the right perspective, okay? So the Lord helps us to do this in verse 24 through 25, where he said this, and I'll read it for you again. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing?" Well, let me tell you, there is. Yes, there is more to life than all of this. Of course, life is more than food, the food we eat, or the clothing we wear, right? Life is more than the toys that we play with or that we can pile up at home, right? Or the money that we can pile up in our bank account. Life is more than that. Because you know what? Life is a gift. It's a precious gift from God that we have. It's the awesome privilege of being able to learn and to love, to move and to grow, to be, to choose, to relate to the family and friends that we have. And most of all, life is the awesome privilege of being able to have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Jesus said this in John 17, verse 3. He said, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent." You see, when we realize these truths about life, it helps us to keep things in perspective, right? Helps us to keep things in perspective. So there's a story about a group of five faithful ladies from several different churches who conducted the service, conducted a service once a week at a nursing home. One day, these ladies closed the service by asking the residents to tell some of the things that they were thankful for. They had several people stand up and share. And then this one lady shared. She was in a wheelchair. And she said this. She said, "I'm so glad that the Lord spared my life when I tried to take it, because now I know him." Right? You see, under very difficult circumstances, that Christian lady had the right perspective on life. Right? She may have had some issues because of something she did, but she has the right perspective, and that's all that matters. And you see, church, that's what we need today. We need a right perspective. Because having the right perspective will certainly help us to stop worrying, won't it? My second point. We also need to see how much God values our life, okay? And we see this in verse 26 where Jesus said this. He said, "Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are?" You see, God, he wants all of us to learn the value of our lives. You see, your life has incredible value in his sight. We know this because in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, Jesus said this. He said, "If anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what does it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his life? Or what can a person give in exchange for his life?" You see, your life, your soul, is worth more than the riches of the world. Your soul is worth more than every dime, every diamond, and every drop of oil there is on this planet. Because you see, your soul is priceless. There's nothing worth more. Think about the incredible value that God has put on your life. Right? I assume nobody in their right mind would trade a finger for $1,000, correct? That just sounds crazy. What about an arm for $100,000? Would you give up an arm for $100,000? I don't think I would. Would you give up your tongue for $1,000,000? Some of us may want you to. Just kidding. No, you wouldn't do that. You see, you are priceless. This body that you have, it's all you're ever going to have while you're here on earth. We know that we are priceless because we are God's creation, right? When we think about priceless masterpieces painted by Da Vinci or Michelangelo, we may roughly be familiar with the price of a canvas or some paints. But that's not what is making, that's not what's valuable there, right? In and of themselves, both of those things aren't worth much. The value of the painting comes from the touch of the master's hand, the person who painted it, the artwork. You're not paying for the canvas and the paint. You're paying for the artwork that was created with the canvas and the paint. And you see, we are priceless because we were created by the greatest master of all. Amen? And on top of that, we are priceless because of the high price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. That's why in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, he tells believers this. He says, You know that from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, you were ransomed but not by perishable things like silver or gold, but by precious blood, like of an unblemished and spotless lamb, namely Christ. Think about the price that Jesus paid on the cross for you, and you will see just how much God values your life, right? Because that will help you win over worry. And my third point, we also need to recognize that worry is a waste, okay? That's what a clever cub learned, right? Jesus wants us to know this, and he said that in verse 27. He asked this. He said, "In which of you, by worrying, can add even 1 hour to his life?" Or I like the King James Version. It puts it like this. It says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" That would be around 18 inches, okay? The original word can mean maturity in size or years, so either translation can be interpreted correctly. But the point is that no matter how much you worry about it, you can't add a foot to your height or an hour to your life, right? Now, I usually don't worry about my height until someone walks in that's taller than me. But some of you are height challenged and may worry about adding height to your life. I looked at my wife, but I could look at other people in here. No. We can't add height to our life. We can't add hours to our life, right? Worrying is a complete waste of time. It's useless. It will get you absolutely nowhere. You see, worrying is like a mouse in a cage, you know, with one of those wheels, okay? A mouse in a cage like that could travel 9,000 miles in his lifetime. But he never gets anywhere, right? Worrying is the same way. We can worry 24/7, and guess what? You're still right where you started, okay? You haven't made any progress. You're right where you started. We have to recognize that it is a big waste of our time and energy to worry. And number four, and bear with me, I got six this morning. So number four, we also need to trust in God's care for us, right? We can't do it alone. We have to trust in God. This is one of the Lord's main lessons for us this morning. And we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Looking at nature can help us to see this. That's because our whole outlook on life changes when we trust in the Lord. As a wise man said once, a lost person looks at nature and can't see God. A saved person looks at nature and can't help but see him everywhere. During the French Revolution in the 1700s, there was an attempt to set up an atheistic society. And one of the atheists was ridiculing a believer with these words. He said, the new leaders are going to pull down everything that reminds you of God. And the bold believer responded with this. He said, "Then tell them to pull the stars down from heaven," right? It's an impossible feat. They would never be able to succeed, right? That man was comforted by the way God takes care of his creation. And you know what? So can we. Who's ever walked outside and just been in awe of what you see? A sunset, a mountain range, just beautiful nature, okay? It helps you bring yourself back to knowing that, oh, well, God created all this. Again, verse 26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are?" And then if you jump down to verse 28, it says, "Why do you worry about clothing? Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow is tossed in the fire to heat the oven, won't he clothe you even more, you people of little faith? You see, God takes care of his creation. And we can trust him to take care of us as well. We can trust in him. 1 Peter 5 tells us that casting all our cares on him because he cares for us. Okay? The idea there is to do it quickly. We have to be willing to do it quickly. We can't hold on to it. Because if we start to hold on to it, what do we start to do? We start to worry. Okay? The idea here is to do it quickly. Don't wait around. Throw your cares on the Lord. John Piper explained that the word casting occurs one other time in the New Testament. It was on Palm Sunday after the disciples had been set to get the donkey for Jesus to ride on. Then in Luke 19:35 says, they brought it to Jesus and casting their garments on the colt, they set Jesus on it. The meaning is simple and is straightforward, right? If you have a garment on and you want an animal to carry it, right, for you, you cast the garment onto the animal, okay? In this way, you are what? No longer carrying the garment, but the animal is carrying it for you. The donkey carries your load, and God is willing to carry our worries in the same way. Okay? It makes no sense for me to ask Mel to carry something for me, and yet I'm still holding on to it. Right? It's not doing me any good, and it's definitely not doing her any good. Correct? We have to let go. So I've never done a visual, so we'll see how this goes this morning. Make sure I get this right. So what is this? It's a box, right? Oh, I don't have my stuff. Melanie, in my office, on that bookshelf to the right, there's Bart's Star Trek books he gave me because I'm a nerd now and I was learning. There's a stack of little cards. I was trying to flatten them out. They're under those books for me. So, as she gets that for me, thank you, my dear.
Don't worry about it. It'll be okay.
So this is a box. And I know what you're thinking. No, this is not a suggestion box. I don't want your suggestions. Just kidding. I do. If you ever have any suggestions, I will take them. But this is a box. And this morning, it's not just any box. This is going to be our worry box this morning. Did you find them? Oh, we did. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help. So this is our worry box. Let me get my stuff together. So this morning, we're going to put our troubles in this box, right? We're going to put our troubles in this box. We're going to put our worries in it. So maybe you have job trouble, right? Well, it goes in the box, right? Or maybe you have financial troubles. You know what? That goes in the box too. Okay? Maybe there's family issues, or we've had a lot of this, health issues, right? Our sin issues, right? Our struggles with sin. We can put them all in the box, can't we? We have to cast all our cares on the Lord. We have to let them go. Put them in the box. And trust that God's going to take care of them, right? We can win over worry by trusting in God and that He cares for us, church. We can do it. My fifth point is that we have to put first things first. Okay? That's the Lord's message to us in verse 31 through 33. He said this, "So then, don't worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, here it comes down to a matter of priorities, right? It comes down to a matter of priorities. Because there can't be two number ones in your life. It's impossible. There can't be two number ones. Okay? This is not the new way of... Our spiritual life is not the new way to do sports where everybody wins. Okay? There's only one winner. Okay? God wants to be number one. And you know what? He deserves it. So my question for you is, what's number one in your life? Okay? What has snuck in to be number one in your life? Or what's competing against God right now in your life? And maybe it's not a something, maybe it's a someone. Okay? People can become our number one, right? Who is number one in your life? You see, the only right answer to that question is and should be Jesus Christ. All of us need to put Jesus first in our lives. Because He is worthy of our love and our total devotion. And on top of that, Jesus also promises us in verse 33 that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of the other things we need will be added to us. Okay? We don't have to worry about being worried, right? We need to focus on God and His righteousness. And the more we really put God first, the less we will worry about everything else. I saw it up there. It may not be in order, Barth, but Rick Warren said this. He said, "Worry is the warning light that God is really not first in my life at this particular moment, because worry says that God is not big enough to handle my troubles." God is big enough to handle your troubles, right? We don't have to worry. So how can we win over worry? We do it by putting first things first. And I believe it's my last point. Yes, number six is to take on trouble one day at a time. Okay? This is the Lord's lesson to us in verse 34 where Jesus said this. He says, "So then do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own." In other words, don't worry about tomorrow because it's more than you can handle today. And on top of that, we're not even guaranteed tomorrow, right? So have you gone grocery shopping? Have you ever tried carrying in all the groceries in at one time so you only have to make one trip? Anybody ever done that? I do that all the time. I feel like a superhero afterwards, of course. And my arms are kind of, you could see the lines from all the bags. But have you ever tried it and didn't make it, right? And after you clean the eggs off the driveway, you decide next time that you'll just take two trips, maybe, right? And eggs are, they used to be cheap. They're not anymore, are they? I feel like eggs are getting way expensive. You decide to take two trips. Well, Jesus is telling us to carry today's bags today. And you know what? To make a fresh trip tomorrow. So, let's go back to the box real quick. So we don't worry about tomorrow's stresses, right? We stay in one square at a time, one day at a time, correct? And we give it over to God. What about yesterday's messes? Okay? Because we all mess up, right? You know what we have to do? We have to forgive ourselves of yesterday's failures. Because you know what? God has, right? What about yesterday's success? Right? Paul didn't worry about topping himself in Scripture. We shouldn't either. Yesterday may have been a success, but today is not competing against yesterday. We've got to give that over to God. In yesterday's distress, life may have tripped you up, but keep walking with the Lord, right? You may have been struggling yesterday, but that doesn't define your day to day. Each day is a new day. Give it over to God, right? We can't worry about today. We can't worry about tomorrow. It's super silly to worry about yesterday, right? As I close with you this morning, I want to share a poem with you, and you have it with you. I couldn't figure out how to, I like it all together, and I had to break it up to put it on the screen, otherwise it'd be really tiny. So I printed it for you. So we're going to read through this. And I got mine on my sheets of paper. So it's called When Birds Worry. When the birds begin to worry, and the lilies toil and spin, and God's creatures are anxious, then I also may begin. For my Father sets their table, decks them out in garments fine, and if He supplies their living, will he not provide for mine? Just as noisy, common sparrows can be found most anywhere, unto some just worthless creatures, if they perish, who would care? Yet our Heavenly Father numbers every creature, great and small, caring even for the sparrows, marking when to earth they fall. His children's hairs are numbered. Why should we be filled with fear? He has promised all that's needful and in trouble to be near. Right? I found this. I couldn't find who wrote it. I searched. If you've heard it before, I'd love to hear if you know who wrote it. But this is a great poem for us to think about. Right? For us to remember. Now I have a challenge for you this morning. Before we close and before we do our last song, take your poem, and if you would like another copy, I'll get you one. But my challenge is for you to take it, turn it over, and I want you to notice that it's blank, right? Well, there's a pen in front of you. My challenge for you this morning is to take that pen and write your worry on it. It could be big, it could be small. Maybe there's a couple worries. Write it on there. And before you leave this morning, come and place it in the worry box. That's my challenge for you. It's a symbol of us giving our worries over to Jesus, laying them down at His feet. Right? You see, we can't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow is more than we can handle, right? And don't worry about tomorrow, because if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, your future is safely held in the hands of God. You can cast all your cares on Him, knowing that your future is safely held in God's hands, right? And yes, we will be worried at times. But you know what? We don't have to stay worried. It's always going to creep in there. Okay? Because it's so easy for us to just to start to worry, but we don't have to stay worried. We can let Jesus Christ help us win over our worry one day at a time. As Mel comes up, I forgot to have her come up, and if you don't know Jesus this morning, guess what? You don't have to worry about that. If you feel like you need to refresh a relationship with Jesus, you don't have to worry about that either. It's simple. All you have to do is ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to redeem you of your sins, right? In your own way, talk to him. Be real with him. Be genuine with Jesus. Let's close with a song, and then I will close us in prayer this morning.
Invite you to stand. We'll sing one more song. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround the earth and heaven, reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who just how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, we are beyond thankful for you, that you rose from the dead, that we can cast all our cares upon you. Lord, we don't have to worry because you want us to give that over to you, Lord. Help us to do that this week, Father God. Help us to see the areas in our lives that we are worrying about something. And help us to trust in you more than we worry, God. Lord, be with us this week. Be with those that can't be here this morning, Father God. We praise you and we thank you for all that you do. In your beautiful, precious name, amen. Amen.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in died he for me who caused his pain? yourself of all.